Welcome to Money, Markets and Masterminds, a CityWire South Africa podcast that delves into the intricate world of finance, investment and strategic decision making. If you're a fund selector, an independent financial advisor or an institutional investor looking for insights, analysis and expert opinions to enhance your perspective, you're in the right place here with me, editor Ruan Uester. Right now, global financial markets are grappling with heightened volatility and uncertainty. In early April, the S&P 500 experienced a historic two-day decline of 10.5%, erasing over $6.6 trillion in market value, the largest such drop in its history. This followed U.S. President Donald Trump's announcement of sweeping tariffs on all imports. The resulting market turbulence has led to a significant erosion of investor confidence, with the CBOE Volatility Index, or VIX for short, spiking above 50, its highest level since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. Amid these developments, investors are increasingly questioning the resilience of long-standing economic frameworks and seeking clarity on how to navigate this complex landscape. Today, we have Professor Adrian Saville, Professor in Economics, Finance and Strategy at the Gordon Institute of Business Science, or better known as Just Gibbs, back in the studio for our third episode of an underlying series called The Long Game, for a hard-hitting reflection on trade turmoil, economic dislocation, and where investors can find clarity amidst all this chaos. Welcome back to the studio, Adrian.
Ruan, thank you. Great to be with you.
Adrian, in a recent investment note, you framed today's economic climate through the lens of Lewis Carroll's classic, Through the Looking Glass. And I quote here, "A world where logic is inverted and meaning is warped." What drew you to this metaphor and what did you mean by that?
Ruan, Lewis Carroll's Alice Through the Looking Glass, I think, is profoundly paralleled with today's world. So he's describing all the way back in 1871, the little girl Alice, who's looking at a mirror, old-fashioned term, a looking glass. And, you know, as we know, everything is the wrong way around. You actually see yourself back to front when you look at a mirror. And then, as the story goes, Alice is able to step through the looking glass, and through that looking glass, she finds a world where everything that she has come to know and understand has been inverted. Time goes backwards, so you remember things before they happen. The queen is threading a needle and she starts to bleed because she's going to prick herself. And you don't have to stretch your mind too far to know exactly who I'm referring to here, where amongst other things in Through the Looking Glass, words take on any meaning that the speaker chooses. And that has uncanny parallels with the world that we find ourselves in. I mean, your question is, you know, what drew me to that? I happened to be, by wonderful serendipity, just flipping through the book and, you know, wow, there it was. And so in the Through the Looking Glass, logic bends, the impossible is routine, up is down, and rules change in real time. That is exactly what we have experienced under Trump's first 100 and a few days now. And so the world, you know, that we find ourselves in is one in which I think nations have to rethink alliances. Billion-dollar companies have risen and fallen. Billions of dollars have risen and fallen in the space of days, weeks. And you know, I think the real question that this poses to us is not what the future will be. That's tempting. But, you know, how do we prepare to thrive in a future where the world has stepped through this looking glass?
Adrian, so this isn't a typical correction or a cyclical wobble, is it?
No. And, you know, if we go back to your intro, we find over the past 85 years, for which we've got data, that the drawdown that you referenced, that's only happened three times in 85 years. You and I were breathing out, or certainly I was breathing in and out for those episodes, late 1980s, then a global financial crisis, and COVID are the recent episodes. But this doesn't feel like it is a cyclical. There's much more to it than a cyclical correction. That in the language of industrial economics, this is structural. And I think what we're seeing is a rational response. The market is responding and repricing or resetting as a consequence of Trump's approach to trade, his wrecking ball policies, and you know, the way that he stepped up under the early part of his presidency is he squarely challenged important parts of the rules by which we've come to arrange asset class valuations, company valuations, economic orders, foreign policy arrangements. All of this has been challenged. And in a word, the thing that he has squared up to most directly are institutions. And institutions are the rules by which we arrange our businesses, our agreements, the understanding that we have of the world. And that's the through the looking glass moment. Given the size of the economy, it means that this reaches far beyond just the United States. That much is self-evident.
Adrian, I want to talk about portfolio construction. When the regular economics playbook is shred to bits like it is now, how do we best respond?
I think that's a great question, Ryan. And you know, fortunately, we've got some wonderful guides from history. We're not, as much as the landscape has changed spectacularly, the principles and rules of investing haven't. So I would argue, you know, essentially a core set of principles guide us here. Diversification, looking for decorrelated assets, and to build defensiveness into portfolios, given that disruption is the order of the day rather than continuation of what was in place. Here, fortunately, we've got some fantastic guides from history. I'm thinking of World War I, the interwar years when trade collapsed, World War II, the Great Depression punctuated that period of the 1930s, Nixon taking the U.S. off the gold standard and the massive uncertainty that injected into world economic order, the fall of the Berlin Wall, and even as recently as COVID. The playbook is these three attributes: diversification, decorrelation, defensiveness. To an extent, we had predicted this in our portfolios early 2025. We cut exposure to large cap US equities, which had looked spectacularly overvalued, particularly the Magnificent Seven. We dialed down our US dollar exposure, and we picked up at compelling prices positions in China, Japan. We put defensive sectors into portfolios that are going to behave far better in stressed environments. And certainly, you know, to this point of the new year, that has worked in our favor. We've got performance ahead of the MSCI All Country World Index in the order of 6-7% over the course of the first 4 months, with much shallower drawdowns and lower volatility. So it would seem to be that the learnings or the principles that we have from those big episodes of the last 100 odd years continue to assert themselves here.
Adrian, are there any unexpected winners emerging in this whirlwind of economic uncertainty?
There'll always be winners, Ruan. And if I look at our portfolio positions, TSMC, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Corporation, has received tariff exemptions. It's holding ground against other Chinese tech competitors. I made reference to the positions we built in the portfolio early in the year, actually adding two existing positions. Alibaba, Baidu have both done well. So, and believe it or not, this seems quite surreal if we think back over positioning of post-2020. Even coal is back in play. Asian manufacturers see cheaper energy inputs. And then look at businesses that are grabbing market share. BYD, the Chinese EV firm, Build Your Dreams, is expanding fast in Europe, grabbing market share from Tesla, which is facing some real headwinds. And to my mind, these aren't temporary arbitrage positions. These are realignment moments that are going to play out over the next 5-10 years. What I would call an investment position, certainly not a trading position.
Adrian, in your note, you also described the status quo as a structural break, and I'm reading this in inverted commas. How deep does this go?
Yeah, look, you know, deep is a descriptive term. It's an adjective. It won't help if I say very deep, because I suspect that you're looking for a number. But this is not just volatility. It's a, you know, it's a dismantling of the multilateral trade order. Countries are repositioning, realigning. Europe has been woken up from a 15-20-year sleep. Europe is finding the global south. And I think that that urges us to rethink. You know, so how deep? Certainly U.S. valuations, to our mind, the dollar was 20% overvalued. U.S. equities were 20-25% overvalued. So drawdowns of that order would bring them back to fair value. They could certainly go deeper. It feels like it's too dramatic to start talking about, you know, Smoot-Hawley tariffs, the parallels with the 1930s. And why I would say that is, you know, I've got the benefit of a couple of weeks from when we wrote that note. And clearly, Trump has been called to order, behind closed doors. And back in public, in the public gaze, he's sort of rewording things, saying that they, the Lewis Carroll story, right? They weren't quite what he meant. He meant different things. But that doesn't change the fact that this volatility and uncertainty injection that has been put into CEOs' heads will see companies freeze capex, balance sheets will go defensive, you're going to see M&A activity step down. And so I think we're heading into a period, we're already in a period that's likely to travel as prolonged dysfunction. Prepare your portfolios for that.
And yet, as you point out, global trade isn't ending. I don't think it ever will, but it is rerouting. What did you mean by that?
It's a change of arrangements rather than a collapse of, you know, this is all going to be over and we'll never find each other again. The rules are being reset or changed. China reorienting towards Europe. Xi Jinping's diplomatic overtures to India. He calls this the dragon elephant tango. Lovely, lovely sort of mental images of what this could look like. Jim O'Neill, he's the author of the BRICS acronym all the way back in the early 2000s, has called for a reconsideration of G7 minus the US to look for trade liberalization. And then I've used the term a few moments back, the global south. You know, have a much harder look at this. And right at the top of the global south order, countries to sit up and pay careful attention to: India, Indonesia, Brazil, Mexico, Saudi, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Philippines, Vietnam. Have a much closer look at that. And a lot of that has been overlooked, ignored, because of the fascination that capital markets and investors have given to US and loved US dollar and loved US assets.
Adrian, as the last question, what is your advice to investors who are trying to make sense of all of this that is going on?
Well, you can't change the madness. You have to accept it. And don't be paralyzed by it. When I say embrace it, you know, you have to work with these new rules, with the dysfunction, and very much like, you know, our little girl Alice who steps through the looking glass, learn the rules of the strange new game, diversify, find defensive positions, find decorrelated assets, be agile, avoid the rigid convictions that say this too will pass and what was the winning hand of the last 15 years is unlikely to be the winning hand of the next 15 years. So build portfolios with assets that offset each other, that are going to do well with this new arrangement, with this new order through the looking glass. stay intellectually honest. And if the facts change, change your mind, as John Maynard Keynes famously put it. This is not a time to be doctrinaire.
No, it's not. Well, that's all the time we have for today. And thank you, Adrian, for joining us on the show and helping me to compare economic principles against investment decisions. We will speak to you again in July for another long game discussion. To all our CityWire South African listeners, thank you for tuning into this episode of Money, Markets and Masterminds with me, editor Ruan Uister, and my producer, Alan Walsh from the CityWire Studios team. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review and share it with your network. We are available on all major platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iono.fm. And with that, and until next time, goodbye.